Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo yo, bro. I'm Mo.
Hey Mo.
Your subjects first. Go.
All right. Well, we'll start with some money talk here. The Elimination Chamber pay-per-view buy rate came in 191,000 buys total. That was done from about I believe 45,000. Or 45% rather domestic and 55% international. What are you thinking about that number?
There's a lot of things points I think to be made off that. Number one, I think that is kind of showing the trend that we've already talked about with the ratings regarding the Miz as champion. That was a game him against Jerry Lawler, and people wanted to see Lawler, I think, in that spot, but. It does show, I mean, The Miz was on Conan O'Brien, and he's been on many other late-night talk shows recently, Jimmy Fallon and such, and people rave about how good he is in those situations, and he is. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he should go on those situations as a guy, as a WWE superstar, not as the champion, because there's a difference between a guy who's fantastic in that way and a guy who wrestling fans, or I'm sorry, sports entertainment fans, will pay to see. And that's where I think that we're seeing this continuing pattern, this continuing trend. Miz is just not drawing.
Well, and the number actually somewhat surprises me, just because the Chamber had been doing well in years past since they'd gone to this sort of Elimination Chamber No Way Out formula. But the other thing was is that I thought that the Lawler Miz match was working; it was drawn out, and also The Rock had come back. That Monday before, 6 days before, as the WrestleMania guest host, and it was either going to do one of two things, I guess, and it did one of them, was it was either going to up the interest for the Elimination Chamber going into, say, WrestleMania season, or it was going to make people go, well, I don't need to buy that because I'm just going to wait and buy The Rock at Mania. So I think that was probably
Well, do you know what the Elimination Chamber's buys were last year? Do we know how much they're down?
No.
They're down. But
they were in the, I think, 262, I want to say.
Something like that. And they are down. And I think Royal Rumble actually this year turned out to be slightly up from the year previous.
I thought it was flat, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, something like that. So I mean, it is kind of a question, though, now. Are we going to see – maybe it isn't as big a deal as we think, because maybe the amount of buys that they have when projected over those three pay-per-views will even out if this WrestleMania draws more than the previous year's WrestleMania. Maybe the amount of money people have allocated to spend on wrestling is kind of stay the same, and they would rather have the buys at Mania anyways. It has a prior price point, and it's their flagship tentpole thing anyway, so it's what they hold up, and they'd rather have the huge buy rate for that. So I'm not so sure that over the course of these three pay-per-views, the Elimination Chamber, Rumble, and Mania, that it's actually going to be down from the previous year.
Do you think people do allocate a certain amount of money per month towards wrestling? I'd love to actually go to dinner at that family's house where they sit down and they budget out how much they're going to spend towards the wrestling. And
I think subconsciously you do.
Podunk, Kentucky,
I think people have an X amount of money. Some people do budget their entertainment value very well. Some people don't. But I think some people, I mean, and the amount of disposable income people have
varies. No, I know.
Obviously. But I think people kind of have an idea of how much they're willing to spend. And it's like, oh, I'm not going to. You know, I'm going to get Mania. I'm not interested in the Chamber, or I'm going to get the Chamber and Mania, but I'm not interested in Mania at all, so I won't get either. I think kind of you get that feel, yeah.
So
I do think that the Miz. I mean, the build was for everything else was not very good.
No.
And the Miz as champion is like I say, he's a tremendous WWE superstar and a great guy to have out there in the community, but he shouldn't be champion. And it continues to look like that.
Well, so. It does. I just think the Chambers themselves weren't.
They killed out the gimmick matches. That's the other thing. I mean, they have been eroding the importance of gimmick matches, and the Chamber has been fairly bulletproof, except for Remember to Dismember. But it's been a fairly bulletproof gimmick match. But maybe the way that they've killed out the other pay-per-views and the way they've run the other pay-per-views and the gimmick matches and the way it hasn't made any sense has started to affect the Chamber as well. There's that possibility.
Well, there is. And we're talking about 191,000 buys for the Elimination Chamber. The UFC 128 with Johnny Bones Jones's title win, what did you say it was, 480,000?
Early estimates are coming in at 480,000 domestic.
Okay.
So, and is questionable. I believe that's pretty close to actually what the domestic buys were last year for Mania.
Yes, I think so.
Approximately the same.
About half a million, I think.
Yeah, it's about that. Yeah, I think a little bit less last year. It was slightly disappointing, I believe. WrestleMania did not quite do a million buys worldwide, but so if Johnny Bones Jones, a man who challenges Shogun Rua, who was not a huge pay-per-view draw, either one of them. Jones will be someday, but he's not yet.
Jones has
momentum. He's not quite at that level yet.
Right.
It's going to go greens. Like Anderson Silva was not a big pay-per-view draw and has, over time, built up.
Because he's a douche.
Yeah, he is a douche. I'm not so sure. It's kind of interesting. Do you think WWE last year went head-to-head with George St. Pierre and GSP trounced them?
Yeah.
This one is not quite head-to-head, but, do they beat 480 domestic?
I think they do. I sense a bit of a buzz to this one. Again, that Elimination Chamber number, I'm going to there's so many different factors, and who knows what people are thinking, but I'm thinking that, as I said, I think it was one of two things, and I think the thing was with The Rock there, is that people figured they could skip the chamber and just go right to Mania because that's the one where The Rock is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where they're going to – I do think that there's going to be some of the buzz. I think the build has been, okay. I'm starting to –
Well, the previous Raw here, 3.3, the rating was way down.
Well, you know what?
And it has been trending downward as well.
They're lucky that show got a 3.3, though, because that show did nothing for me. And that's what I was just about to get into before you jumped the fuck in, Dick, was that my Mania interest really has peaked. I'm not as into it, as we record this show as I was when we did our last show. Hopefully in Chicago, probably the hottest wrestling crowd in the world, quite frankly,
is in Chicago. Montreal.
Well, Montreal's up there, but I honestly think Chicago is the hottest wrestling crowd in the entire world, and they are going to have The Rock, they're going to have the Cena, Miz, the whatever they're going to be doing, the stare down or whatever the hell it's going to be. Rock is live, and I think that's going
to... The Impact Zone is a hot... No?
The Impact Zone.
Hot crowd?
Oh, well, it's a close number 700, I think.
All right. No, anyway, I understand what you're saying. You're hoping that they're
that's going to just jump me right up. I mean, and recharge my WrestleMania batteries, for lack of a better, because of their charging right now.
Because you're talking about the Rock and the Rock's initial. He's going to be again in front of the live crowd, so that's going to obviously, I think, create some interest. But it's funny that the match that's the main event, the World Championship match, the main event is going to go on last there between Triple H and Undertaker.
Well, that's right now. Yeah. And
well, it's the world title, so it should go on last.
It's definitely – the streak is the most important title in wrestling.
Yeah.
It is. In entertainment.
Well, actually, the world title is only most important to go on last when it's Hunter.
Yes.
He
didn't want to do that, though.
No, he didn't want to do that either against Orton when it was 2 years ago with Undertaker and Shawn in their first match, Jericho and Austin and Rock. Anyways. Hogan and Rock.
I can give you, though, the one with – I can give him the benefit of the doubt with the first Michaels Taker match, because part of the charm to that match is, and it's not that we thought it was going to be a bad match, but nobody knew that was going to be that what's become a modern day classic. It's the best wrestling match in the last 10 years. I need to go back and watch it
because I was never that high on it. I enjoyed the second match quite a bit more.
Well, you were high on other things though.
Yeah, that's true.
I never
had the drama that Shawn was beating him. I just kept on watching, going, yeah, that's a good spot. Now he's getting in position to do this. He's getting in position to do this. I see this coming. And the only thing that really created the drama was when that, Jimmy Snuka's son fucked up catching Undertaker.
Yes,
I thought he was dead. I kept on going, Taker going to win? When's Taker going to win? I had more interest the second one because I kept on going, I think Taker's going to win, but Shawn might.
He's been dead since 1991.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go. What's
yeah, but I want to talk about this Triple H, though, because,
I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a star. But you know, we're talking about how your interest isn't as high. Okay, the first night that the Triple H came out and interrupted the Taker, that was also the night that feud peaked.
Yes, it was.
The vignettes have been fantastic. All the vignettes have been fantastic, and people talking about Shawn Michaels have been fantastic.
Harley
and all these other people talking about it has been fantastic. Taker's promos haven't been great, but they've been Taker promos.
Arn Anderson. His
character. The guy who's been not pulling his weight in this whole thing is Triple H. His promos have not been that good. His second promo, I kind of forgave him for saying nothing else mattered the first time he said it. And now he said it again, and I'm going, fuck you, buddy. You can't do that. Though I think everybody, I like how Cole is saying he's the main event. Hunter should be saying he's
yes,
the main event.
Yes, yes.
Edge should be saying he's the main event. John Cena and The Miz should be saying they're the main event.
I believe
everybody should be putting themselves over going into Mania.
I believe Alberto Del Rio is saying he's the main event.
Well, yeah.
He should be. Yeah.
And Edge should be, too. All of them should
be. His destiny.
Yeah, all of them should be saying that we're the main event.
It is my destiny to main event WrestleMania, I believe.
Everybody should be.
But by the way,
Hunter, by the way,
just quickly as an aside to that, doesn't the winner of the Royal Rumble get to main event WrestleMania? I'm sorry, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The winner next year, the winner of the
wins.
Next year, I can see the ads now. Last year we gave you the biggest Royal Rumble in history. This year we are going to give you the Royal Rumble. The winner of the Royal Rumble will be fifth from the top at this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly.
Instant buys.
But anyways. Triple H, so he's now said again that this is more important than the world title, and in fact all his title wins combined, and there's a certain level where it becomes not building a match, but it becomes bullshit. And
in wrestling?
Kind of, yeah, and in wrestling there is that fine line, and I think he's crossing that line. I also think that it's very interesting how this guy is going on last. It's almost like he sits there. He's a smart man. He learned from he studied Ric Flair. And he saw where Ric Flair was a great worker and a great personality, but he wasn't good at politics. Then he studied Hulk Hogan, saw how great he was at the politics.
Wow. I think he studied Nash.
Then he learned from Nash directly. And now Hunter's probably the greatest politician ever. This Mania is going to do a bigger buy rate, I believe, than the previous Mania because of The Rock. But he's going on last, and he's going to be able to say, I main evented this Mania with the buys. He's going to be able to take credit. He's going to be able to Hogan himself here.
And when Nash looks at him now, it brings a tear to his eye.
It brings a tear to his eye. With a tear... Woo. In my eye.
Yes.
Yeah. He's learned from him. He's smart.
He is smart.
He's gonna take the Rock's bump, and he's going to be able to take credit for it himself.
Yeah, well, that's just right. And I mean, it's – but I don't know that that's going to go last. It was scheduled to go on last, but I think that after Monday night, after whatever happens Monday, I honestly think that it's going to – the decision is going to flip-flop about five or six times. You know, like once, twice a day, Vince is going to change his mind.
Yeah, that's true. That's possible.
It's probable, I think.
Triple H will I don't know. Rumor has it he has a bit of power in the company.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah,
no.
So, I did not like, the second time you say nobody else matters and the title doesn't matter, I just don't know what's saying. To me, this is more important, and it's just as important as that world title.
Wow.
And I just fucking – why do you have to – there? Why?
Well,
I mean, the first time I was kind of countered – chalk it up as a mistake. The second time, it's like, Jesus Christ, it is on purpose. And he just is that big of a
dish. I remember you saying that they're gonna edit that out with video packages and stuff. And I said, no, they're not. They're going to run with it because this is who Hunter is.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. They're running with it. And you know, of course, I was right. But what I was looking at is that his promos just really set me back to, like, 2002, where they used to open Raw with, like, Hunter coming out for 20 fucking minutes and saying something that could have taken him three, you know, and just and
he
nothing.
Never uses one word when 10 will do.
Well, no, exactly, and it's just awful. Like it just and then
he's
Ted DiBiase.
His weight.
Then Ted DiBiase Jr. comes out and has to take the pedigree through the table. So of course the pedigree we know already that the pedigree through the table spot is happening at Mania, where Undertaker's going to get pedigreed through the table. There's going to be the count out. The count's going to get to five. Undertaker's going to sit up and he's going to, you know, slowly beat the count in at nine to there. So
yeah.
I mean,
you know, I've been saying for a while, and I still think this is a good possibility that before the next WrestleMania rolls around at some point in time, Ted DiBiase, because he teamed with him in FCW, and they're both second-generation guys, and I think they're both guys who are floundering, but they don't want to give up on, that he and D.H. Smith will be tag team champions, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Take two-generation guys, give them the tag belts, expect it to get them over, but never use them. I mean, but I really think what Ted DiBiase should be doing is asking for a release. He should go wrestle in, and maybe not TNA, but everywhere else, ROH. He should wrestle in Japan. He should wrestle in Europe. He should, if he wants to do this, he should find his character, find who he is, and come back as somebody, because he has not. He doesn't know who he is in the ring. He doesn't know who he is outside of the ring. He needs to find himself, and he needs to. He should ask for his release so he can find himself.
What are you, Dr. Stevie all of a sudden?
I am Dr. Stevie.
Oh, Christ. I think that...
Or Dr. Freddie Prinze Jr.
You have that idea that the DH and DiBiase are going to be tag team champions by the end of the year.
The titles don't mean a fuck all anyway.
Well, and I find that difficult because I'm expecting DH to be wished well in his future endeavors.
Sometime, I'm expecting Tyson to be wished well.
Sometime before the middle of May.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
With the superstars and the post-mania. But you've got the next topic. It's something that I haven't read, and you wanted to read them to me and get my
Well, I'm just throwing
reaction.
It off the top of my head.
Okay, well.
And, okay, I'll hit that topic. Even though you now said I'm going to hit that topic, which means essentially you've hit that topic, whereas I was actually going to go in a different direction, something I didn't have written down,
well,
but whatever.
That's why I'm the host.
Actually, I'm going to go in a different direction of something I have written down anyways, just really quickly. The best build feud, would you agree, on Raw? King and Cole?
I don't want to talk about it.
Is that best build feud?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
and meanwhile, the fantastic build over on SmackDown, Cody and Rey?
Mm.
Wouldn't you say
Cody
that...
Cody and Rey has been good. I do think, though, that the main event has also gotten...
It's been good,
enough,
but the problem is we still don't know if it's going to be a three-way. We don't know... That's why, at least the Cody and Rey, we know what the fuck it is. Like, it's been a good build, but we don't know what's happening yet on SmackDown. I mean, we're a week fucking out from Mania. We still don't... There's still a lot of shit. I don't know if we know what the Core and Cole and... Or
well,
Kane
now,
and Big Show and all that shit.
Now that Wade Barrett is the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, we don't... him and Kofi. Like, we don't... There's still a lot of stuff. Week out that we don't know that's going on in Mania, and that's fucking terrible. But I wanted to say this. I just think they should have.
But does
it
matter?
I think they should have Ray or Cole, or Ray or Rhodes on Raw, or at least have a vignette highlighting their feud for the Raw viewers
because
it's been really well done, and a lot of people unfortunately don't watch SmackDown, and I think they should show people what's going to be coming up at Mania because it's been really well done. I just think either a quick appearance or a quick vignette, that would do.
That's right.
I just wanted to bring that up because it came to me, and I'm the host.
Yeah, just like your mom.
Yeah. Okay. So Randy Orton, and I'm not reading this off to you. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but he had some interesting comments, and I just want to get your point of view on this. Number one, he said that Triple H and an Undertaker. He said that they're both legends. He said that the Undertaker is nobody knows how to put together a match when he's hurting like Undertaker. But he also said that both of them have been out of the ring for an extended period of time, and he may hurt their match. What do you think of him saying that?
You know what? I don't know that, and again, I don't think much of it. I mean, it can do two things. I mean, if you're insecure as fuck, like Triple H, he'll probably be like, why are you burying me? Whereas if you're smart as fuck, like probably Undertaker is, he realizes that what that's doing is, lowering a little bit of the expectation. So when they put together, I look at it like, when I say that, I say it like, remember Shawn Michaels' first match back against Hunter?
Yes.
And the knee, and okay, we're gonna have his back injury, and he's just gonna they're gonna have a match, right? And then okay, and it's gonna be Shawn Michaels' return ring. And then he went out and went just all out, balls out, holy fuck, like nothing had happened. It's like it's almost like he
Shawn's
never really
like
hurt his back.
I'm like, yeah, and Hunter lays off and. Just smokes him in the back with a chair in that match fairly early on.
Well, and he goes
and
through tables.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
On your back? Are you kidding me?
But,
like it blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, no, exactly. And that's what I mean. But the expectations were lowered. If we'd thought Shawn Michaels was 100%, that would have been the match we would have expected them to have, right? And subsequently, that was the match that we expected them to have. But that first one, part of the holy shit factor was that he was pulling this out. So if you drag down the expectation just a little bit by saying, you know, they're both banged up, that might hurt their match, and then it doesn't, then they come out and they go, look at a match that they fucking had, and they're banged up.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you have to look at it. And it's just a quick little throwaway comment. He didn't, as you said, he didn't dwell on it. He didn't keep going back to it. It's just one of those things that he threw away, and I think that's how you have to take it. Okay. Hunter won't, because as I said, he's insecure as fuck.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But say this, since he's insecure as fuck, I think there's a really good chance that they haven't been mentioning the PG. They haven't been shying away from the blood on TV. I think one or both of them juices in that match.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. Maybe Hunter juices, and then when he
it would not surprise
and
me.
Then after the show, Vince can go up to him and say, just when you get this close, you do something like that, it just takes away from it.
Yeah. Well, you know, he can also go up to Dennis Miller and tell him that he doesn't know comedy.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
So, so Randy Orton's other comments, these are even more, I kind of saved the best for last.
Yeah, he said they were really good, so.
He said that he thinks that when The Rock and on this coming Monday, that The Rock and Cena get in the ring together.
Right, yeah.
That Cena is going to school The Rock. He said he's a better this is what he said. He said he's 10 times the performer in the ring that The Rock is.
Okay, so well, you know
he
what?
Also said, oh. Wait, he also said he's quicker than The Rock. And he comes up with his own stuff, whereas The Rock has stuff written for him. Fucking talk on that.
What?
This is what he fucking said.
Know,
I'm not bullshitting.
Actually, you know what? It's
Orton
kind of
said this.
It
is fucking work if I've ever heard of one.
What it brings to light is the opposite of work, actually, is to me in about 2005. Remember when they were doing that angle with Randy Orton that he got concussions?
Yeah.
Turns out that was a shoot.
Yeah, no shit.
Because you talk about Benoit having the brain of a 74-year-old Alzheimer's patient. Those comments make a 74-year-old Alzheimer patient look brilliant.
Yes.
Because John Cena, you know, he comes up with all his own stuff, clearly. He doesn't have anybody writing it for him because, you know, and The Rock. I mean, where would The Rock be without Vince Russo, Brian Gewirtz, you know, Big Dick Johnson? Where would, I mean...
He's quicker than him. Are you fucking kidding me? He's more of a better performer. He's not a better promo. And he's not as good a wrestler as The Rock was. Rock wasn't a fantastic wrestler.
No.
He knew how to formula for his matches. But he was such a good athlete that his matches were exciting. His punches looked good, unlike, say, fucking Cena's. What moves he had looked good because he was a good athletic guy. There was a snap to everything he did. Right? And then just his charisma off the charts. I think I look at it, Randy Orton, I'm going, you know what? I understand sticking up for Cena, but
yeah.
I mean, fuck off. It's the same thing as Triple H. There's a common point where people go, that's bullshit, and it turns you off. There's a work, and then there's bullshit.
Well, that happened in 2002 with Triple H.
Oh, that's just
yeah. But I mean, and where did he do this? Was this like was that one of those like UK Sun interviews
something
or
like
was
that.
It?
Something
was it?
Like
yeah.
That.
So I mean,
it's just stupid.
You know what? But what do you expect? I mean,
talking about stupid. We're talking about people. I have a couple people on the line, good friends of mine. They want to talk about Cena and The Rock.
Oh,
and
Rock.
This.
Yeah, they were calling in earlier.
They're a couple geniuses, and they're gonna fill us in and let us know. Beavis and Butthead. What's up?
How's it going, Mo?
Good. What are you going to say about The Rock and Cena? You guys have comments?
Yeah, John Cena. Hustle. Loyalty. Respect. You can't see me. Shut up, Beavis. No, wait. Yeah, shut up, Beavis. I smell what The Rock is cooking. The Rock is awesome. You're just a turd, Beavis.
No, wait. You can't see me.
What about The Miz? Isn't he the one who's awesome?
Ching-gang.
The Miz isn't awesome. The Miz is an awesome piece of crap.
Yeah. Miz sucks ass. Yeah, totally. Not like John Cena. John Cena. He's the greatest. The greatest. I love John Cena. He just, you know, he wrestles and he raps and he raps a lot. You're a rapper.
Beavis, do you need to take a pill?
No. I just like John Cena so much. He's just a man. I think he's so great.
Well, The Rock is gonna kick his ass, Beavis. The Rock's gonna destroy him.
No way. He's gonna do the five knuckle shuffle. I like the five knuckle shuffle.
I bet you like the five knuckle shuffle, Beavis.
Yeah, it's the greatest. It's the greatest in it. And he's got the FU and the attitude adjustment. He's got all those moves.
He's gonna take a people's elbow because that guy just rocks. He just rocks everything, Beavis. He cuts a promo. He doesn't matter what your name is.
No.
Yes, Beavis.
All right, guys, you know what? That's just the type of conversation. You ever go to a wrestling event, and you turn to the people in the row behind you, and you start talking to them about wrestling, and you wish you hadn't? That's very similar to the conversation we just had between Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah,
thank
guys.
You guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Mo.
Not a problem.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on. Thanks.
That was
cool.
That was better cool. Wrestling analysis than I get from Wade Keller.
You know, I actually, yes, but I did the... I actually think I saw Beavis at an event in Cochrane. He had a sign that said the BA News.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That was a good show for none of you that are going to get that reference. But that's
all
right.
Trust me, it's fucking funny.
It was funny. But yeah, so now we got Beavis and Butthead. They've weighed in on the rock Cena. It's transcending Hollywood.
It is transcending Hollywood. I want to talk about, since we're talking about The Rock, so it looks very much like he's hinting towards coming back. Dave Meltzer's been hinting towards him actually having a match.
Yeah.
What do you think has caused him to change his mind? I'm not asking whether or not you think he's going to have a match. What do you think has caused the change from a month ago?
I think he knows I'm watching.
Oh.
I really do. Yeah. I think he knows I'm watching. No, I
you often will buy on multiple TV sets.
Yes. So, no, I just think that I think he's got the itch again. You know, it's in his blood. I mean, he is. You know, you talk about being third generation. He really is. I mean, his grandfather and his father were entrenched in the business. That was their lives.
Yeah.
And same with The Rock. The Rock has done.
But if he had been a successful football player, he never would have even become one.
Well, he used to play for the Stampeders, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, but, I asked him, I asked him if that's all he's ever done.
Yes.
He was really happy. I asked him that.
Yeah, and he was riding when you asked him that. He was actually riding with Mark Henry, who I've been in contact with, and he's going to actually be coming up on a show. Yeah.
Well, we got Sexual Mark Scott Henry
that's
going to
be
up.
Coming up pretty.
Oh,
pretty soon.
Awesome! Awesome! I have a lot of questions for him.
It's a good get. Yeah, yeah. I know. But but really with The Rock, I just think that I think part of it is that he's done a lot of movies. You know, he's really reached the level that he's going to get to in movies.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
I don't
think he's going to win an Academy Award.
He's not going to win an Academy Award. He's
not going to be Leonardo DiCaprio and have movies, or Christian Bale and have movies of that financial success. But
he's not
a
Schwarzenegger
success.
Or anything. Yeah, he's
A-list, but he's the low level of A-list.
Yeah, he's like an A-minus. And he's not going to – he's definitely going to make more money making movies and take less punishment on his body making movies. So in terms of wrestling, I think it's just something that he's going back to because he can. He saw the reaction. He's seen – I think that he's really made a difference too. I think, you know, just like Fatu.
He's been, yeah, but, you fucking just beat me to that line.
I think that, I really think
making
that.
Making a difference. Has he also been shot?
I think so. Make a difference, Fatu.
Yeah.
But that The Rock has seen the difference that he has in the ratings, and people remember him, people are coming back, and I think it's just fun for him. You know, he comes out and he's able to come back on sort of on his terms, which is going to be, you know, how long does it take him to film those vignettes, really, right? That he,
when
I'm sorry,
are you still talking? I was thinking about how Fat 2 became Rikishi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fat 2.
Yeah.
But...
The big quiche.
Well, he was Rikishi Fatu when he first first came out, and they dropped
that's
the Fatu part to have continuity because that is so important.
That is so important. Yes, yes.
But
how long
to get back
take,
to The Rock,
how long would it take Fatu to get warmed up?
Oh God, I think he's still trying.
He's still trying.
I think he's still trying. Yeah.
Okay. Back to The Rock. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think it's just that he's got. I think he has always underestimated, especially after staying away for so long, just how much of a rush it is to get in front of that crowd, have them chant along, have them go crazy for you. Just that feeling. Movies can't give you that. Nothing can give you that. That's why fucking guys like Ric Flair and these guys can't retire. That's why you hear...
Well, no. Guys like Ric Flair can't retire because they have $6 in their bank account.
Okay, Ric Flair could have all the money in the world. I guarantee fucking to you, he'd still be out there wrestling.
Well, that's true. That is true.
So that's why guys
can't really.
Okay,
I mean.
Yeah, but there are guys who can't retire. That's why you see musicians, musicians who can't talk about broke. But that's why you see musicians as well who are also who continue to tour because they love that rush. Nothing can fill that rush that the live crowd
Rush.
Does.
Fucking Diddy Lee.
Oh, Rush is a great Canadian band. What are you fucking talking about? Anyways. So yeah, I think he's underestimated it, and I think that's what's got him coming back. I think he's sitting there going, you know what? I'm in good enough shape. I'm young enough still. I have gotten myself in good shape for other reasons, but maybe he wasn't getting himself in good shape to take on Vin Diesel on a movie. Maybe he was getting himself in good shape because he always had this in the back of his mind.
Well, he was bigger for that movie Faster as well.
Faster, yeah.
And I mean,
it does
shed new light, though, on, you know, and I'm never going away. Remember when he said that, and we're going, what does he mean by that?
New light on whether or not he should have to pass a wellness test.
That's very true. And you think he does.
I think he should have to pass it. I think he would pass it because I think there's ways around it.
I was going
to
say.
I think there's fucking tons of ways around it.
If Batista passed it, Rock will
When's the last time we actually knew somebody being popped for roids?
Hmm? Well,
when's the last time somebody's, liver enzymes were up? It's been a long fucking time.
Well, it has. So they've really done a good job in cleaning things up.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Oh, well, it is there, and it's just a way to beat the test. Everybody knows how to beat the test. The people that can afford to beat the test will beat the test, and it'll always be the case.
Test beat the test.
He did. He did. And he's doing well.
Yeah, so. he's well.
Yeah, so... Yeah. I think that we talk about The Rock. I don't really know what's got him back. I think part of it, as I said, is that he's going away. He tried the kids' movies. He's back to the action movies. He knows that there's a crossover with wrestling and action movies. I think he's at the level that he's going to be, and I think he finds it fun. And if he's ever going to do it, he's at that age where this is really sort of the last kick at the cat for The Rock in terms of because he's. I don't want to say he's a perfectionist, but he doesn't want to be like Ric Flair.
If he's getting that one last itch, could Steve Austin get that one last itch also? Will the crowd rush? Because he's never been away for quite as long without that crowd rush. But could that crowd rush also give Austin one last – or could he and Rock talk? Because they're buddies. Could he and Rock talk and – And I'm not saying they have a match with each other, but just could that one last...
I think they should have a match with each other.
Well, I do too, but could they have that... I mean, I almost wonder if Austin versus Cena wouldn't be bigger than Rock versus Cena in some ways.
I don't know.
For many, many years, I think people have been wanting Austin... Remember, Austin did give him the Stone Cold Stunner at that one Tribute to the Troops
there. The Christmas
there a few
show
years
there,
ago.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and people pop like a motherfucker for that.
Well, that's because John Cena's...
Well, douche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, let's move on then from The Rock. Let's go to you wanted to talk a little.
Well,
bit about...
Well, I want to continue to talk about something stupid that happened on Raw, if you don't mind.
Oh,
we have
something stupid.
You have some, and you said you have a different point of view than the normal one on this. So please talk to me about Randy Orton. Who's going to be Randy Orton's wife in the next vignette?
You actually. Yeah.
Well, so
you've.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have bigger boobs than
I. I do have bigger. Well, they
get
sag.
It? Get it? Because you're fat.
I'm fat.
It's a podcast. I had to. You know,
see,
audio
it's
that.
It's not.
You know.
It's not big. I am fat. I'm not too fat for your mom.
Fat like a Danish.
I've lost like 100 pounds.
I know.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I dropped off 280 pounds last night when I dropped your mom off at
yeah,
home.
No. Yeah. No. Did you want to stutter another joke out?
Yeah.
That would be
please,
good.
Please. Yeah. Did you ever hear about the blonde who put lipstick on her forehead because she's trying to make up her mind?
I heard about your mom. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
So Randy ahead. Orton.
Randy fucking Orton.
And
his
CM
wife.
Punk. And
CM Punk was great, but nothing else was.
Well, you know, when I saw that, of course, I mean, it's quite obvious when he got off the bus and he became a smiling, happy fellow that likes to spend time with his family, you know,
yeah.
And Ed Harris. But I think that with his wife, I mean, I didn't really notice, to be honest. I mean, it was pointed out that this is the third person. I remember the last one was a blonde. I did remember that. But if you could tell me who Randy Orton's wife point her out. I don't know that many people will care.
No,
I thought the funny part, though, is when...
But was this one the same one that was in the audience the week before?
No, that was his real wife.
That was his real wife,
yeah.
And then this one...
Because that was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Right? It was his real wife. But what I thought was funny to me was that when...
I'm a better actor than the current wife.
Well, no, yeah, when Punk blew her the kiss... She looked like horny for it.
Yeah,
like she was supposed to seem disgusted. And
hey, look,
like she
Punk
looked like she wanted
a lot
it. Right?
Of divas.
That's true.
So,
maybe she did want it.
Why.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He has fucked a lot of women in the wrestling.
So why didn't you like the angle?
Why didn't I like the angle? It's because We talked about previously a previous show about how they have he's punted everybody in the head, and what do you think they're going to do from here? And we were kind of having trouble seeing where they would go.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in that they had a simple angle. You have a guy, he has a group. You have another guy who's taking on all the group. He's beating them all and taking them out. And they did it too quickly. And then from there, they have to get creative.
And then from there,
you, when you get any time we count on them having to get creative in order to draw money, they seem to fuck it up. And it's the same thing. It's kind of like this. This fucks it up because it takes away the core of what is Randy Orton's character.
What about Wade Barrett?
I didn't say anything about Wade Barrett.
You said the core.
All right, you fucking talk.
Okay. Well, I'm clearly better at it than you. But why I liked the angle?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think of the angle?
I actually liked the angle was, you're right. I mean, I thought that the tour bus thing and that's just, I mean, the
you know
the,
what I liked?
The
this
premise,
Molson M. This is
the
good
Molson
beer.
M is good. The thing that was stupid, of course, was, you know, the involving the whole bus. But the reason that I thought it was okay is because the means to the end. Okay. What happened in the angle? Orton, as we went on, kicked, punted every single member of Nexus back to Florida, right?
Sure.
And so what happened is Randy Orton ran out after the bus, was hit from behind with a wrench in the back of the knee, the back of the leg, by CM Punk in order to neutralize the kick, saying, you're going to punt me? Not with that leg, you're not going
to
punt me.
So fucking do it! But do it on his way to his WrestleMania Rewind match. He's walking to the ring.
I know.
The camera's following him. He's walking to the ring to face Ray, and then fucking Orton
does
it. You don't introduce all the stupid elements.
I agree with
all
you.
All the overly creative elements.
I agree.
They don't understand the anytime they try and get overly creative, they do not understand what makes what really is drawing the money. They think that their creativity is what's drawing the money. It's the same thing with this Orton. How we talk about Orton's not drawing. And they're trying so hard, it's highlighted the fact that they don't fucking understand wrestling psychology. And it's the same thing with this. When they introduce the bus, your understanding of what wrestling psychology is and what will draw is not there. You're not as bad as TNA, but you're still you still suck.
Well, no, they're not as bad. But they said, and I agree with you that they sports entertainmented it up. But the premise at the end and the thing I think they're going to play off of in Punk's hometown of Chicago, which will be interesting, on Monday.
That will be interesting.
Is
you got to keep him off away from the live crowd, really.
I don't know. Maybe. Or you just do one of those pre-deals where he talks about how the Blackhawks suck and he's glad that he left. And then they can boo him sort of at, you know, if he does that at 6 o'clock or whatever before the show starts. And
he's
everybody
tough to boo
him,
anyways,
so.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, yes,
so
that's true. That is true. But I don't like the way they got there.
Is the line beeping?
But the end.
I think
there is someone on.
I think
if
I
you
see somebody on hold.
It's a that's
is that
the,
that
that's
person
the,
I'm in
that's
contact
the
with?
Connecticut area code, yeah.
Yeah. Should we get
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, awesome. This is
you maybe, hooked it up, so
this could be our well, constantly in touch with our husband. This could be our biggest get yet. We have on the CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment formerly. She's no longer with that position, but she once was. She was there for a long time, and of course everybody knows her. It is an absolute pleasure to have on Linda McMahon.
Wow,
Linda,
yes,
how are you?
It is. It's a pleasure to have you on, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. What fucking show did you say this was?
We Talk Wrestling.
Yeah, no, you're on We Talk Wrestling.
We Talk Wrestling, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, thank you very much for coming on. Moed had mentioned that you were formerly the CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, and you had resigned that position, it's going to be a few years ago now as time flies. Really, what have you been up to, since you've left that position?
I am the senator of Connecticut.
Oh, Linda, you may not know this. I thought you did. You didn't win.
Awkward.
You're not the senator of Connecticut.
That's awkward.
Yeah, maybe somebody should let you know.
Fuck you. I am the senator of Connecticut.
Okay.
Well, okay then.
My mistake.
Yeah.
Linda is the senator. But, okay, well, you're running for senator. I think one of the things that a lot of people were questioning and hurt you was there was some controversy with the former it was Garrison Cade within the WWE and Lance Cade is his real name. His father made some disparaging remarks about you and the way you handled his untimely passing. What do you have to say about that, Linda?
Yeah, but just respond to the father, I guess.
I never met Lance Cade. I am sorry that he is dead. He is dead, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, Lance Cade did pass away.
Yeah.
A little while ago.
Yeah, we thought you knew.
But okay, well, we don't have a lot of time, and we know you don't have a lot of time, and so we do thank you for spending your valuable time with us here. We've just got a couple of other questions, and then we can wrap up here for you. But moving on, we mentioned you, of course, being CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, what you're most known for. You'd span that over a couple of decades, and just wanted to what you would think that your sort of lasting legacy would have been from World Wrestling Federation / World Wrestling Entertainment. What do you think you did there, Linda?
We put smiles on people's faces. I am happy that the WWE Universe has stood up for WWE.
That was pleased awesome.
Me too.
Great marketing campaign.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. What, Linda, I'm going to talk to you about, you know, you're talking about the current WWE and standing up for it. Let me just ask you about, you had a boom period in the 80s. It was huge.
It was great.
Then somehow you made even more money in the 90s.
Went public.
You look back on that era and the financial gains that company made. I'm sure you have fond memories. What do you have to say about that time?
Well, yeah, what would you think about the
Attitude Era?
The Attitude Era.
Fuck Russo.
Oh. You know what?
Well, that's a good answer.
She has met him.
That's, yeah, no, yeah. That's, you're yeah. Obviously an intelligent lady.
Unlike Lance Cade, who
yes.
She never has met.
No, obviously an intelligent lady. Well, let's, I just wanted to touch base now that something current, Linda, is with a recent arrangement that you've made with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, for some comments that John Cena has made. Recently coming to an agreement with them, and just recently, over this past weekend here, Michael Cole, using a derogatory slur towards his broadcast colleague on Twitter, Josh Matthews, just wanted to get your reaction to that, and did you feel that was appropriate?
Malfunction does not compute.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Hello?
You know what? Let's just move on to another question.
We've lost Linda.
What?
We've lost her. Yeah.
I have a lot more to ask her.
I did too, but she's obviously we've lost her, and she's a very busy lady. So
I'm gonna text her husband as soon as we get off the show here.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. I fucking guarantee you. We're gonna have Linda back on.
Well, we should be able to get her back
times.
On. That was a very
you know
good
what?
Interview.
Why don't you talk about that last part there, Michael Cole, and explain that entire situation?
Well, before we do that, I'd like to thank Linda for coming on. You could really feel the genuine emotion.
She
feels it, and she cares.
It hit me emotionally.
She cares.
It's heartfelt.
But let's move on. As we said, since Linda obviously got disconnected talking about the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation versus WWE, John Cena had made some comments in a promo that they'd picked up on, and not sure what
he's been making comments for years.
Well, he has, yes, but they've now people because The Rock are back are actually watching Raw again.
Yeah.
And so that's you win some, you lose some in terms of the popularity. Again, you know, it draws attention to yourself, but you got to make sure what you're doing when you draw that attention to yourself, right? So I think that Michael Cole now coming on and calling Josh Matthews what he did, just that's rare that happens, and that just I can't believe how stupid to do whether there's a defamation. I don't want to say a lawsuit, but attention being drawn to them or not.
It's really stupid that he put this. He said Josh Matthews is the other F word, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
So he called him that and then immediately removed it and then said, oh, you know, I was just. Nobody told me to remove it. I did it all by myself. I just got rid of it. It's
what a nice guy.
Nobody, I'm, you know what? And I'm like, why are you... Just say, I've done something wrong. Don't say, I did it wrong, and now it's over with, and quit talking about it. I'm going to go back to being a character. Just say, I did something wrong. That's not something that should be used. I make mistakes. Yeah. I'm very, very sorry. Move on. Don't do it again. And fucking don't have anybody on GurWorks or anybody write anything about this on... I'm waiting for Cena to say something else, because I just don't think they can resist themselves.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for Cole almost to say something. But, I mean, to me, it's no different than we talked about a little while ago about Hulk Hogan and his tsunami comment that they edited it out, and, of course, Hogan's reaction was just stupid. I think his reaction was a little stupid.
Nobody can actually ever say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Sincerely. And, hey, we all do it. I mean, mistake and use, the word words that
we've had to edit things out of our show in the past.
have no idea, people.
We've had to edit things out, where we went, you know what, that's something we don't want to leave in there.
And that word, of course,
you start talking, you have verbal diarrhea, as the saying goes.
Unfortunately, for disabled people and for homosexual people, those slurs, unfortunately, have been sort of commonplace in our language, to the point where if Michael Cole had said it, I can see, not thinking about it. But
here's the thing:
typing it into the computer, physically typing it in and hitting send on something that goes to I don't know how many. We didn't do when we did Who Has More Twitter Followers.
Yeah, he has a couple hundred thousand Cole. Twitter followers.
Yeah, exactly. Now you have sent that out to a couple of hundred
thousand.
And then
it gets retweeted and et cetera, et cetera.
It's there forever, really.
Well, there's a screen capture on TMZ of it. So, I mean, that's it. It's out there forever. But not only that, but
Twitter.com/WeTalkWrestling. We could retweet it.
We could retweet it, and also WeTalkWrestling@AIM.com. Thank you for all your feedback.
Yes.
We haven't gotten to any of the mailback questions, but we have some international ones we'll get to in the future.
Cheap plug. Had to go there.
Cheap plug.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, the funny thing is he called Josh Matthews that, and really for years when I've been looking at Michael Cole, that's what I've been thinking about him.
You know, your mom's a cheap plug. Anyway.
Anyways.
Had to go there. But, it boggles my mind that the timing is horrible given what's just happened. But, we really shouldn't. That stuff shouldn't happen anyway. If you're a public figure,
it does. You just gotta learn better nowadays.
You just shake your head when stuff like that happens.
So other than that, much to Michael Cole's dismay, I think we're at 45 minutes or a little past. So OUT.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's time to wrap up. So we did the cheap plug already, Mo's mom. And we talk wrestling at aim.com is the email. So keep sending your feedback. We love
it. Is your mom
a
free plug then?
She is. She's a free bird.
Yeah.
But,
what's your excuse?
What's my excuse? I don't know. I went out. But website, wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com. We're available on iTunes if you just type in We Talk Wrestling.
And thank you very much. You guys have been all over us last week. We've been more success than ever, and
like
we don't know
mom.
Why.
This is great. But anyway, we've got to head out then. So for in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
Ring a ding dong dandy.
Good night.